Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Amen. Good morning, church. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Morning, and I'm glad you're here. So thanks so much for joining us for this post-Christmas celebration, the first Sunday of Epiphany. We're so glad to be with you and worship, and if you're watching online, we're so grateful that you have tuned in to this church. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to be with you. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I hope you were able to gather together with folks that you care about, or just spend Christmas Day in the solitude and the peace and the joy that comes with this time of year. As you gather here for worship this day, we're going to be focusing on probably a somewhat familiar story about the Magi coming to visit Jesus after Jesus was born. And so as we gather here today, we are also going to be singing a wonderful assortment of hymns, of carols this morning. And so we hope that you brought your singing voice today as we gather together. Many of the songs that we'll sing together are very familiar, and I hope that it's a joyous experience for us to sing together, to just experience the goodness and the joy that comes with the Christmas holiday season. And so with that, if you haven't had a chance, we'd love for you to take a moment to fill out the connection card. This is when you get double bonus stars for coming to worship today. So your attendance counts for like 3 Sundays this morning. So I don't know if I can give out that kind of extra credit, but I just feel inclined to just thank you for being here this morning. So feel free to fill out those connection cards. And if there's anything at all that we can be praying for you and your family about, we encourage you to take a moment and fill out those prayer cards so that our prayer ministry would be happy to gather together to pray over the concerns and the issues that are near and dear to your heart. So we encourage you to take out those prayer cards and fill those out. And with that, I invite you to please stand as we join together in song this day. Reconciled, joyful. Amen. I invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Let us pray. Dear Savior, Jesus, born in a manger, we pray that you will be with us today in worship, that you will bless our singing and our hearing and our speaking. Bring us love, peace, hope, and joy, not just for the season of Christmas, but throughout our lives as we live each day. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, I invite you to hear these words from Matthew's gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of all the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is so, that it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people of Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the space where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who shows us to the place where Jesus is born by the lighting of a star. Amen. So I promise this message is not going to hold you up from your lunch plans. We're going to keep this beautifully tight and sweet at this point. But I will say this much, you know, as we reflect on this story and Jesus is born into the world in this time of hope, and we've gathered around the manger on Christmas Eve and we've experienced the joy and the hope and the faith that that moment provides, and yet in Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, there's this beautiful story of a second wave of guests. Pastor Lindsay preached about the wave of guests, the unexpected guests. I was definitely the one that was like, "Well, Lindsay, would you mind if we just, you know, let folks in and let them meet Joshua and Lydia?" She's like, "No, you heard that story on Christmas Eve." But here are another round of guests, the Magi, who were watching the stars, and they saw a sign that something miraculous was happening. And I love St. Augustine had something beautiful and profound to say about this. He said that Jesus wasn't born because the stars shone in the sky, that this was the time of the prophecy to take place. Instead, the stars in the sky aligned themselves in recognition of this moment that took place on earth, and that the birth of Jesus, it was so miraculous, so hope-filled, that even the stars themselves and sort of the story aligned themselves so as to announce and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And I think the thing that sticks out to me most about this story is that the religious leaders of the time totally missed it. They had been waiting. The scriptures tell us that people had been waiting for the birth of the Messiah since the birth of the Messiah was foretold in Isaiah. The prophetic works of the Old Testament all were sort of saying that a root shall shoot up of Jesse's tree, that there will be a suffering servant. You have heard probably the hundreds of allusions to the birth of the Messiah in the Old Testament. We preached about him. And yet, when you are living in the moment, waiting, expecting, hoping for the Messiah to come with all of those scriptures, right, that sort of said someday the Messiah will come and give deliverance for people and there will be hope and good news for all people. And Jesus was born and everybody just kind of went about their daily lives for the most part. I'm reminded of a story during my time down in Detroit at Cass Community United Methodist Church. And I was walking the streets of Detroit, talking with a variety of people, and there was a guy who was sitting on the corner, on the street corner, and he had a cup out. He was asking for spare change, dollars, anything that anybody could afford. It was cold out. People were walking right past him, and in Detroit, you know, it's not uncommon, of course, to see people who are homeless on many street corners. This guy was right outside of Slow's Barbecue, which even just like mentioning that place suddenly makes me think about lunch all the more. Nevertheless, he was sitting right outside of Slow's Barbecue, and person after person, I was watching him because like Cass United Methodist Church is here and Slow's Barbecue is here. It was a place I acquainted myself with regularly when I was appointed down at Cass United Methodist Church. And I just walked outside the church and I saw this guy, person after person, just walking him right by, not paying him any mind. And to be quite honest with you, in this particular moment, I was on my way up to Wayne State University, which just was, you know, north on the street there. And so I like everybody else that I had seen, just walked right past him. The thing was, this man had seen me walk past him before and had seen me walk that street multiple times. And so he called out to me and he said, "Hey, aren't you the pastor of the church down the street?" And in that moment, you know, I was sort of like when you get on an airplane, right? And you like sit down next to somebody and they start a conversation, but you're not really feeling it. And they're like, "What do you do?" And you like freeze in this moment. Like, do I confess what I do? And, you know, but in this moment I was like, "Yes, I am the pastor of Cass United Methodist Church." And he said, "And you're just going to walk right on past me." And it was a moment of deep conviction. I mean, I've read the story of the Good Samaritan. I've read the stories about Jesus being born and the religious leaders not accepting him and rejecting him and even making plots to try to kill him, right? We've all heard the stories about what it means to be faithful and what it means to have our ears open to hear, our eyes open to see, and our hearts open to do the work of God. But I confess to you, I've walked by people who are struggling on the street corners. And it's not to say that we can help everybody necessarily, and it's not to say that really what we should be doing is stopping our car every time we see somebody on the street corner. But I guess the warning of this story is this: there are some times in our life that we encounter the embodiment and the reality of Jesus Christ right here in this earth, right here in our midst, and we walk right on past. And sometimes there are even cosmic signs in the sky, like the stars aligning, that tell us that something miraculous is happening. And if we don't have the eyes to see it, we can miss it. So my encouragement to you is this: in the ancient world, in Jesus' day, terrible things were happening. Herod, by the way, in case like this is your first sort of survey of the scriptures, was not a good guy. He was highly oppressive, even to his own people. He was sort of a puppet of Rome. Things were not easy in the ancient world. And yet, even in the midst of that moment, something miraculous and joy-filled and exciting and hope-filled was taking place. And so my encouragement to you in this time, when things are not easy, things are not how they always were, things are filled with tumult and trial and tribulation, is to look for the alignment of the stars that announce the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. To allow yourself, your path, to be bothered, to be interrupted, to be disrupted, so that you might, like the Magi, have the experience of looking in on the manger to see the presence of Jesus Christ right here in our midst. Because I think God is here, even in COVID times. Even with families celebrating Christmases in different kinds of way, even amidst surgery and medical situations, God is still here with us. And so as I was walking towards Wayne State University, and this man called out to me, "Aren't you the pastor of Cass Community United Methodist Church?" For one thing, I was like, man, you really are watched, even in a big city, right? Like, you can't get away with anything, you know? Like, and not that I was trying to, but I was like, oh, I guess I'm not anonymous, you know? Like, despite 800,000 people, there are still always eyes watching. And thank God there are. Because the Magi's eyes were on the stars, and they were watching, and they noticed something unique, and they were willing to be interrupted to see what there was in the heavens and to go pay their respects to the birth of Jesus. And when I was stopped by this man, I couldn't help, you know, maybe it was like pastor guilt, like, oh yeah, I should be doing. So I went and I talked with him, and we had a conversation for about 45 minutes in the cold. And he told me his life story. And frankly, his life story was not that different from my own. Growing up in the suburbs of Detroit, nice paying job, at least by his own testimony. And then all of a sudden, some crises in his life took hold of him, and he confessed right in that moment that he had lost control and started making bad decisions, and his life went spiraling out of control, but he could put his finger on a singular moment that he lost it. And it was a reminder to me that all of us are only a couple, maybe one bad decision away from having our life just sort of spiral to a different direction. But I'm here to tell you that in that moment, talking with this gentleman outside of Slow's Barbecue on a cold, cold day was my unique experience that year of being visited by Jesus Christ himself. And I'm reminded that Jesus came in the most unpredictable, unprecedented way for a king to be born into the world. And not only that, but Jesus and God chose some of the most irrational people to be the very first storytellers of God's birth into the world. Pastor Lindsay talked about the shepherds, but these magi, the astrologers, the king, the wise men, also to some degree were unique heralds of the early birth of Jesus Christ. And this is what that means for me. That none of us are disqualified from being the ones that announce the birth of Jesus Christ. If the shepherds can go into Bethlehem and announce excitedly the birth of Jesus Christ, so can you. If the kings and the magi can come and visit Jesus and then go out into the world by a different road because they were terrified, right? Because they were afraid of Herod's sort of angry vengeance. If they were to go home the same route that they had come, they chose a different route to go home. But if they can be some of the earliest people to announce and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, maybe some of you, the remnant here on the 26th of December, can also be amongst the very first to go out and tell the world that you have also seen, experienced, felt, and known the birth of Jesus Christ, even into these difficult and dark times. Maybe it's in the form of a homeless person. Maybe it's in the form of a unique peace and calm that took place over this holiday, and you were able to feel deep within the fabric of your being and your bones some moment where you reminded yourself that God is still on your side. Maybe it was watching a child open up the very gift that they asked Santa Claus to bring. Maybe it was the joy of seeing relatives that you have not been able to see in a long time, but it is exactly in that way, I believe, that Jesus was born into this world, through an unexpected place, at an unexpected time, in an unexpected way. And so I encourage you to keep your eyes on the stars, to keep your eyes open for the miraculous in the midst of the mundane, that you might be able to catch a glimpse of that sacred moment of Jesus being born into the world, because Jesus continues to be born into the world again and again. I hope your eyes are open to see, your ears are open to hear, and your hearts are open to experience the ongoing revelation and creation of God in the form of Jesus' birth. because you are all qualified to be amongst those who tell the story of God's good news into the world today. And boy, it feels like people could need good news these days, now perhaps more than they have in recent history. So carry that hope into the world. As we sing these carols together, I hope that they bring you a sense of joy, even in the midst of this season of challenge and struggle and consternation. But as we sing, you know, joy to the world, and it came upon a midnight clear, and what child is this? I hope that for a moment you're able to experience and reflect on these wonderful stories of our faith. Join the Magi. Join the kings as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ now and into this future season. I invite you to join us in song this day as we celebrate Jesus' birth. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We invite you to be seated. I just have to laugh. My first appointment was in Rochester, Michigan, and in that sanctuary, the technology booth was cursed, but not on like days, you know, like today. You know, it was always Christmas Eve and Easter. And this last month, I had a chance to go back to Rochester and celebrate the life of the person who manned the tech booth in Rochester. She and I worked together. She was an amazing person, and I just was reflecting on how literally like every Christmas and every Easter, like the sound wouldn't work or the computer would fail or like microphones would just like inexplicably just like stop working right in the middle of like the holiest day of the year, and we would just be like, the sanctuary is cursed. I don't even know what to say. It's just nothing we can do. Like, and my senior pastor was always like, John, we like practice. And I'm like, I know we practice. I don't even know what to say. But that was what happened. And so I'm just like, I'm actually grateful, frankly. I'm like, I'm sorry for all of you guys, but I'm like, yep, the sound. Yep, it's always a thing. So as we gather for worship, I hope that the hymns that we sang, the carols that I hope are sort of germane and ingrained on your soul and in your spirit, that there was a joy in just singing those songs together and experiencing that sacred moment of music and song. I want to pray this day about something special, so we're going to do a little bit differently. I want to invite Jonathan, if you wouldn't mind coming forward. Jonathan is married to Allison. Sorry to do this to you, man, but Jonathan is also a pastor, and a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan got a call from our district superintendent, and he is being appointed to two churches to live out his calling in the United Methodist Church in Ypsilanti and also in Canton Friendship and Ypsilanti. And so we're excited for Jonathan next Sunday. Are you starting next Sunday? So I just want to invite you to just extend a hand to Jonathan as he begins his new ministry in Canton and Ypsilanti. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let's lift up him this day. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your call on Jonathan's life, for the gift that your calling is on him. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bless and anoint him in his ministry. May he be a blessing to the congregations that he is called to serve. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work through him, that he would be a blessing to those people and to those communities, and that you would be about the good work of ministry in those places. Anoint him and bless him this day. Surround him and enfold him in your steadfast love. Watch over him and his family as they embark on this glorious and wonderful transition. And we pray that your spirit might be at work in his life and in the life of those that he serves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. So, thank you so much for being here this day, Jonathan, and may God bless you and your ministry amongst the good people of Canton and Ypsilanti. Will you continue with me in this time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gathering of your people in this place. We pray in the midst of our time together that your Holy Spirit would touch all of us gathered here, that we would sense your presence, that we would feel a reminder of the events that happened so long ago but continue throughout history to have a cascading impact on our lives of hope and peace and grace. We pray as we gather here for folks in our midst who are struggling with health-related concerns, for people who are recovering from surgeries, for folks who are at home quarantining with COVID, for brothers and sisters who are traveling afar to be with family. We pray as we gather this day that you would open our eyes to the miracle and mystery of your son's birth. We pray that as we gather in this time, that you would allow us to sense the signs and wonders of your presence all amongst us. We're grateful. We're thankful And we believe that you're up to incredible and great things in our lives and all around us. We thank you for the small miracles and for the big ones, for the moments in our lives that we felt called to you and drawn to you. And we pray that we would continue to sense the presence of your Holy Spirit as we pause for a time of silent prayer and reflection. Now we continue to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, there are so many ways that we can respond to God in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and we invite our ushers to come forward and assist us as we receive this morning's offering. Amen. Thank you. invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that the gifts that we share this morning would be blessed and multiplied so that they might build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that the gifts that we present, that we might also present ourselves, that we might be able to use our hands, our feet, our mouths, our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to build your kingdom here on earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to just take a moment. And so as we close out our time together, I pray that you would continue to have a blessed Christmas season and a wonderful beginning of your Epiphany season. As you depart from this place, I want to let you know that beginning January 9th, we're going to be starting a sermon series titled Baggage, and we're excited about that. It'll be about the struggles with mental health and mental wellness, and we're excited about that sermon series to talk about some of the things that sometimes get to us up here in the Midwest in the month of January and February. And so we are excited to begin that sermon series. As we close out our time together, I pray that this season will be filled with joy and hope and love and peace. As you depart into the world, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.